This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here, and this is another episode of the Actualize Freedom podcast. And this is going to be a really interesting one because Amazon sellers love to know what is going to stop working and how it's going to shift, right? Because it's happened to us a lot. The Amazon sellers who are listening, who have been around for more than, let's be realistic, for more than 6 to 12 months, you've seen some shifts happen in Amazon, right? And especially the people who have been around for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you guys have seen some pretty big changes go on in the Amazon space. And that's what we're going to start talking about here today, is what changes are probably going to be happening when it comes to product launches and specifically rebates. So pretty much no one better to bring on here than Brandon Fields, because he does this stuff all day long, right? He is neck deep in rebates and he understands this world really, really well. So I'd like to welcome to the podcast, Brandon Fields. How you doing, man?
Good. Good to be on again with you. We talked a couple of weeks ago with you on our podcast, so I'm glad to be on yours.
Yeah, well, glad to have you on here. And rebates are such a hot topic too, so I know people are going to love this one. Let's talk a little bit right now about, like, what is the current state of using rebates to launch products on Amazon? Like, is it still as effective as it once was? And what does that landscape look like currently?
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, it's as effective as it's ever been. And it's definitely a go-to launch method for sellers. I always tell sellers rebates are best used with other launch methods. So, like, you obviously want to be using advertising. You want to be using best practices with listing optimization and other sorts of best practices in combination with rebates, but certainly using rebates is amongst the best launch methods currently available to sellers.
Awesome. And just so people have some context here, like, how many launches is your company typically dealing with on any given basis here, like on a weekly basis or monthly basis?
Yeah. So we have about 2,000 campaigns created per month. And that's campaigns, right? So, like, oftentimes there'll be a seller who will run 2 or 3 campaigns per month for the same product. So we usually see, estimate about 700 new products run through our platform, each month.
Right. So you see pretty good data and, like, what's actually working coming through here. That's very interesting. And the real burning question that I have for you is, where do you see product launch going to? Because those of you who have been around for a while, you'll remember the way to do it used to be just get 90% off coupon codes that you just send out to people, and they would just purchase the product through the, the big coupon codes or the 100% off coupon codes, however you're doing it. And then those people buy your product and you get the keyword ranking. But then in recent years, it switched more to search, find, buy, like actually getting rebates. So Amazon sees that as full price sales. And that started working better. Where do you see things moving in the end of 2021 and beyond?
Yeah. So I think it's going to become more of like a holistic approach. So like, as time has gone on, sellers look to launch methods that, to at least to Amazon, look more organic, right? So, like, the shift from discount codes to rebates was a play at making Amazon think you were getting full price sales and your product was truly popular, right? And, like, obviously, Amazon is aware of rebates. They've been around for some time. And if you try to read the tea leaves, they seem to either not care about them or are willing to disregard them as long as they're not being used in exchange for review. However, with that said, I think there is going to be a shift towards launching a product and actually, like, launching it to a real market. So I think something that's become popular is getting your product picked up by blogs and publishers and getting influencers to share your product with their audience. And it works best, obviously, if you have a product that is proprietary, is unique to some extent, where it'll be of interest to a blogger influencer and they feel like they can truly, you know, write something about it that is positive and that is a true review, as opposed to, you know, if you sell a generic product that everybody sells, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But in any case, getting your product picked up and shared by people that have a lot of influence. And I think a lot of times people conflate influencers with just social media. There's influencers that have influential blogs and other online publications that can develop, you know, can build a lot of traffic and interest in your product other than just on TikTok or on Instagram or so on. So, I mean, I think that's going to be, publications are going to be, in addition to probably rebates, I don't know if they're going to eclipse them, but I think, you know, as a third or fourth addition to a kind of holistic product launch that, you know, that'll be a go-to for sellers in the coming years.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And one framework that I think is useful to look at things to kind of determine where Amazon might make some changes is trying to think of things like, what is actually Amazon's perspective on this? So if Amazon looked at rebates, I'm trying to think of like, is there anything about rebates that is just not good for Amazon's customers? Because Amazon is so customer focused that they're going to make most of their decisions on like what is actually good for the customer, right? Yeah. And some could argue that rebates are actually good for the customer, right? And it's like, yes, sellers are manipulating the sales rank and stuff like that, but then a lot of customers are actually just getting a product and they're purchasing the product, and that's totally fine. And rebates are common practice for many, many decades in the retail industry, right? Like well before Amazon ever existed, people were doing mail-in rebates from the back of their cereal boxes and stuff like that. So there's a good argument to be made that rebates are not really that bad in Amazon's eyes, but some other people could argue the other side too. So like, what is your point of view? Like, is there like a big motivation from Amazon that like, hey, rebates are this bad thing that we really need to stop sellers from doing, or is it really not so bad in Amazon's eyes?
Yeah. So I think on a basic interpretation, right? So like, let's exclude the rebate in exchange for review. Like you'll see that stuff going on Facebook. You don't see it on our platform. You don't see it on the other big rebate platform. But so excluding the review side, yeah, I mean, it's not only, okay, you would think it's not okay with Amazon. It's a really a great deal for Amazon, right? So what used to be 99% off discount codes are now shoppers going to Amazon, buying the product at full price. And it's almost a funny like iteration of how competitive Amazon has gotten, that sellers are willing to pay shoppers to buy their product at full price. But in that regard, yeah, it's great for Amazon. I'll say my one concern from like just the rebate industry is there's a lot of shady small players out there that crop up and they start a rebate platform for a month or two and they disappear. The risk to Amazon with rebates is that you have a platform get to some sizable, you know, audience size where they have a lot of outstanding rebates and they disappear. And then you're going to have shoppers go to Amazon and say, hey, you know, I was expecting a rebate on this and it's not sanctioned by Amazon. Amazon might not even know that platform exists or existed. And that, in my mind, is a risk. It's a risk to us because, again, if some nefarious player comes into the market doing rebates and decides, you know what, I'm going to disappear with this rebate money, and just go offline. And especially if they're overseas outside of, you know, the hands of law enforcement that would care about it. That's a risk. I would say that's the only reason that Amazon would care.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And even just, even if they're not just scamming people, even if they just have really poor customer support, this taking a long time to give people the rebates and stuff like that, it could create a really poor customer experience for Amazon shoppers. And at the end of the day, like even if it's not Amazon who's offering this rebate, it's going to come back to Amazon, right? These people are going to, you know, in their minds at some level, they're going to blame Amazon. They're going to be reaching out to support. They're, you know, it's just a not a good customer experience on their platform. So I can see that definitely makes sense. Have you actually seen situations in recent history of these companies doing that, just literally scamming people, like taking a whole bunch of rebate money and just like closing up shop and you never hear of them again?
I've heard about it. It's ones you probably haven't heard about, but if you're in the industry, like, so we work with like a lot of bloggers that are fanatical about rebates and discounts, and I'll see them post something, you know, warning, don't use this platform, or literally sometimes it's a person, like it's a person or a small group on Facebook, because, you know, they are not paying rebates. So yeah, I mean, it exists out there. It's, again, these are small players. It's not, you know, the bigger rebate platforms that are doing this, but yeah, I mean, when I see that stuff, it doesn't reflect well on us and on the other, you know, reputable rebate platforms. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely goes on, and it is a concern, right? That is a reason that, if it happens enough, that Amazon would potentially go and, you know, make some announcement regarding rebates. But, you know, I would always tell the shoppers that go to those platforms, like, think twice, right? Like, if you're looking at a rebate platform and you see a great deal, even if it's 100% off, like, you might want to see if they just created their site, you know, a month ago, it might be worth passing on, right? And see if in 2 or 3 months they still exist, because they might not. So
yeah, there's a lot of shady agencies and shady companies in the Amazon space, unfortunately. It does attract a lot of the kind of crazy people. I'm curious to hear if, you know, you mentioned that you think things are definitely moving a lot more towards organic sales and different marketing methods of driving sales for your launch. Do you think that rebates are, you know, is that just because it's going to get more competitive? You're going to need to start doing more things to get the same results? Or do you think that rebates are likely to somehow not be as effective and be penalized by the algorithm in any way?
Yeah. So I think it's more the first point you made. So I think it's coming up with additional strategies. Like, so when I started selling on Amazon almost 10 years ago now, you could launch a product quite easily, get to the first page. And then once you were there, you could do nothing, no advertising, no external traffic. You know, once you were there, you were there. It has changed, right? So like, I think most sellers who have spent any time looking on the shopper side of Amazon, we'll see the top rank listing will be, you know, an advertised product and then the organic result. And it's the same product. And the reason, like, logically at first thought, you think, well, why would you cannibalize your own sales with a advertised listing right above your organic listing? And the reason is you just need that real estate to stay in the top position. So, so with that concept in mind, I think brands that, especially are operating in competitive categories, are going to need to, you know, use all the tools that are available to them to continue driving traffic and continue driving sales to their listing, just to stay there. So I think it's that. I do spend time thinking about whether Amazon will eventually come up with a system where they can, if they haven't already to some extent, weed out, you know, sales that they detect are from external promotions or from just shoppers that are constant deal seekers, where they can identify it on the shopper level. Like, they can tell if this person buys 30 items a day on Amazon, they could somehow decrement the ranking benefit from a sale that was generated to that shopper. And I know there's been a lot of speculation about that. So that may come into play as well. Yeah,
it's a very interesting point. And because, like, at the end of the day, a lot of people, they're doing all the rebates in a way that's not really detectable by Amazon, except for the shopper level, right? Like, the same shoppers are just buying all these items, 30 items a day that are all random, that don't really make a lot of sense, right? It's not crazy to think that one of Amazon's machine learning algorithms could create a typical profile for a person like this. Yeah. But then again, there's a lot of shoppers on Amazon who, that's just literally how they shop on Amazon all the time. Like, I mean, it sounds crazy, 30 items a day, but I mean, I would guess there's a lot of people in the United States that are actually buying 30 items a day on Amazon. It's just like the regular daily stuff, because I can say, like, from my personal level, I live in Indonesia, so we use Tokopedia as kind of the Amazon that we have here. And like, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. Like, literally every single day I come home and there's like 5 to 8 or 10 items that have arrived from Tokopedia that are on there. And that's like, and I don't really spend that much time shopping and like buying all this random stuff. It's just like stuff that I need just regular for regular day-to-day stuff because I don't want to go drive to the store, you know?
Right, for sure. And it's probably to that point been masked somewhat by the pandemic, right? Because people aren't shopping in brick and mortar stores, they're buying more online. So, yeah. And I do remember on the last podcast we did, you pointed out something that I've seen too, where stuff like you'll see these companies that offer to do like add to cart service where they just in a click farm will add your product to a shopping cart over and over. And you can rank without getting any sales. I don't know if that still works, but I know as recently as a few months ago, people were doing that. Yeah, there's definitely primitive elements to Amazon's algorithm. So it seems weird that that would work, but then they're detecting shopping patterns on this very, you know, AI oriented level. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I think it's useful to think about it from the Amazon perspective, like how big of a problem is it for Amazon, right? Like when we're talking about review manipulation was a giant problem for Amazon at the time where they really started cracking down on review manipulation. It was just like, they couldn't not address it. Right. Yeah. But I don't feel like rebates falls into that same category. It's like, yes, maybe there's some downsides in Amazon's eyes, but it's not this big giant problem that like, hey, this can't continue. We need to do something about this right now. And there's a lot of like, very legitimate long-standing business use cases for rebates, right? It's just a very tried and true thing that brands would do to generate more sales. And it's, you know, recently it's been about product launch and everything like that. But I want to dive more into the whole concept of we just need to be doing more and taking up more real estate and then actually doing more marketing to rank and stay on page one in 2021 and going forward. And it's funny that you mentioned the ads example, because that's something that I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding is in Amazon ads. Like, why would I try to bid on the same keywords if I'm already ranked number one? Or why would I bid on my own products for product targeting ads and stuff like that? And yeah, that's I don't think that's the right mindset, because what that doesn't take into account is that if you're not bidding there, if you're not taking up that slot, then one of your competitors is, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, even if you just were blocking one of your competitors from potentially stealing one of your customers, it's worth it, right? And so like, that's why it actually makes sense to do things like set up what we would call a real estate campaign in Amazon ads, which is a product targeting campaign that mm-hmm. targets all of your own products on all of your own products, right? It's why would I do that? I'm just paying Amazon more money. But it's like, no, you're actually just blocking all of your competitors from advertising on your listings. You're keeping those customers from going to your competitors, right? So I think those kind of strategies, it's really silly not to be doing those strategies in 2021. And like it, you know, I wouldn't look at it as cannibalizing your own sales and paying Amazon money.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, more to that point, right? So like, if you and different, you know, sellers, different brands have different development plans, but if you're looking, you know, big picture and you're trying to get your product picked up as like on Vendor Central, or better yet, picked up by, you know, a Walmart buyer, you know, dominating a high traffic category like teeth whitener or vitamin C or something like that, that's something that they're all looking at when they make decisions on purchasing for, you know, brick and mortar. So I've seen companies that use that strategy and are successful in getting Walmart to, you know, place a purchase order for in-store, and the purchase order like is more than they do, you know, all year on Amazon for their Walmart in-store. Cause people forget Walmart's way bigger than Amazon. there's multiple use cases to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what do you think are some of the best strategies that people are using today when it comes to external traffic, because this is such a fast changing thing. And it's probably the one thing in Amazon that I see people get the most hung up on, get themselves in the most trouble, and just like definitely most often underestimate how complicated it is to run some of these external traffic strategies. Like a recent example would be, you know, ManyChat has been having huge issues with the EU. And Facebook ads has had just like a crazy string of Facebook ad account suspensions and big problems. And like, it's not as effective as it used to be. Yeah. The ad costs are rising and all this kind of stuff. So what have you seen to be, you know, like maybe the top one or two strategies that you think are really the best ones to focus on right now?
Yeah. I mean, circling back to what I started with, obviously rebates are effective. The Facebook thing, yeah, that is a big problem. Like Facebook arbitrarily suspends ad accounts for no reason, then they'll restore them 2 weeks later and say sorry, and then they'll do it again a week later. Like, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, yeah, right. So it's difficult. I know there's issues with ManyChat. Yeah. So again, I mean, I think rebates on a reputable platform is a good strategy. And, you know, and then, you know, trying to, and it, there's no platform we're looking at it, that, which is part of the reason I brought it up, but to connect sellers with publishers, like owners of big blogs with a lot of traffic or popular influencers for a particular niche. So, so yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, the way to go for sure. And as far as external traffic goes too, like you have to look at it. Everybody gets, I think, tunnel vision, and like, I'm guilty of it. I've done it for years, but like everything is, do I rank highly on Amazon? Do I get to page one? That's certainly important and it'll generate you a lot of sales. But if you have a brand and a trademark and you have a bigger ambitions than just getting, you know, hacking your way to page one, or I shouldn't say hacking, but getting your way to page one, and then you're, you know, all done with that product or with your brand, you know, I think you should have bigger ambitions and try to get your product known to people. Like, another thing I'll say, this is kind of deviating a little bit, but like, one of the big threats I think to sellers now is China, right? So like Amazon is having these huge seller events in China. They're trying to get Chinese factories to sell directly on Amazon, because what they recognize is that a lot of these brands, like, and frankly, my brand too on Amazon, all we do is we buy from a factory overseas, we put our trademark name on it, goes directly to Amazon, and we sell, and nobody's searching for our brand. We've just gotten good real estate, good positions on Amazon for high traffic keywords. Amazon realizes that nobody's searching, for example, for my sporting goods brand. So thereby, we don't have really a lot of value, right? We're not Nike, we're just some trademark brand. So Amazon wants the factory that sells to me to eclipse me and sell directly on Amazon. That way, the prices are much lower to consumers, and they have developed a lot of brand loyalty because they've eliminated the supply chain. The supply chain is just factory to consumer. So with that concept in mind, it's really do or die time for sellers. So either you have to develop a brand name that people are actually looking for. You know, they're searching on Amazon for your brand, not just for some target keyword and finding your product. Because if you start having brand loyalty, people know about you, then all of a sudden you have value, right? Like the factory in China that sells to you can't just sell that same product on Amazon and be successful because they don't have the brand name. Otherwise, you're at a lot of risk, right? Like these factories, Amazon is literally subsidizing their shipping so that they can send stuff from China to the US for super cheap, sell it on Amazon directly to what were your old customers. So, you know, yeah, you have to be working on building a brand that is recognized and known to shoppers before they go to Amazon to search for the product.
Yeah, such an important point there. And I think there's this overarching kind of, it's a very common way of thinking that brands don't matter on Amazon at all, right? Mm-hmm. People just focus on getting to page one. I want the keyword ranking. And just kind of making the assumption that customers are just going to choose whatever item is on there that is, you know, the best price and looks the best or whatever, right? But what we've seen with a lot of our PPC clients is that they're branded campaigns, meaning like all of the search terms that include the brand name or like the very specific product name, are very often some of the best performing campaigns. Like we see actually sometimes up to 50% of the entire sales of the Amazon ads account coming from those branded terms. So, and these are not like big famous brands, right? These are just brands that have been around for long enough and they have a good range of products, and people are searching for the brand name and they're buying the stuff, right? So like I think brand name definitely still does matter on Amazon. It's just a matter of actually creating a brand that's an attractive brand, right? You have a product line that is a line of products. You're not just selling one random thing, a line of products that your customers all makes sense that they'd be interested in, and they're high quality and you can actually build a good brand. What do you think about that?
Yeah, totally agree with that. Yeah, you have to build a good brand, come up with a product that, like, I think to build on your point, like, people talk about differentiation, building a product that's different than what is currently off on the market. That doesn't mean a different color, right? Like, people think that if I just, you know, there's no purple colored like fitness weights or something, like, that's not differentiation, right? Like, ideally you come up with a product that has some IP behind it, and that, not by like a trademark, but actually like a patent, right? So your product does something that is a little different that you can get a patent on, that is going to start to develop brand recognition based upon some proprietary feature of it. I think that's critical, and losing sight of the, you know, importance of developing a brand and just doing this game of ranking, it's very short-term thinking for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we wrap up here, I'd like to also get your input on like bloggers, influencers, and things like that, because that's one of the more difficult ones that I know a lot of people get really stuck on, bloggers and influencers. It's difficult to wrap any kind of structure around it, right? Because people, they can't reach out to enough of them because they have to do manual outreach and reach out to all of them, or they're paying just way more money than it should be for the influencers, because there's some kind of like rough guidelines of how much you should be paying an influencer depending on how many followers they have and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's a wild west. There's some influencers are going to be charging triple that, you know, kind of industry average best practice rate. And some of them are going to be charging, like, they're going to do it for free, right, on the extreme end. Mm-hmm. So like, what do you think is the best strategy for reaching out to some of these influencers and bloggers and kind of doing that? Like, do you have a specific way of doing it you think is best?
I'm definitely not an expert on that area. We ventured into it just as kind of a exploratory thing. But so what I would say is, like, the influencer space, at least from my early impression of it, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on. So, like, there's a lot of stuff with like buying followers and buying fake engagement. And there's like a lot of vanity to it, where you may pay a lot, right, and perceive, go in thinking, hey, this person has a huge number of followers and, you know, potentially is relevant to my product or product niche, and then be very disappointed. On the flip side, you certainly could find somebody that has a large, very engaged audience that is going to, you know, your product will resonate well with them. I would be inclined, if I was doing this, to look at bloggers first. So I don't think a lot of the fake activity has transcended blogs yet. And there's a lot of tools too, where you can gauge traffic and gauge engagement through like page views on blogs, and very quickly sort out, like, is this blog, are people actually going to this blog to find out about, you know, teeth whiteners or some other product that is either the same or relevant to my product. So that's what I would say, is probably go for the blogs first and find, you know, a popular blog with a subject relevant to your product. I know there's a lot of platforms that do influencer stuff. You know, micro influencers have become a hot topic. And the problem, I think, with that is just the time, right? Like, it's probably going to take you the same amount of time to book a deal with somebody who has 2,000 followers versus 2 million. If anything, the person with 2 million followers probably is an agent and a process, right, for accepting payment for that post. The influencer space, for multiple reasons, I think is challenging, but I think blogs, if it was me, I would start with blogs.
Yeah. And another really good benefit of blogs is that's real estate that's much more long-term, right? Or in some cases, mm-hmm. essentially yep. permanent, right? Because social media influencers are great for just like a straight shot of adrenaline, right? But yep. it's very, very fleeting. Right. Like, we had Scott Needham on the podcast a little while ago, and he sold 10,000 units in one single day through a TikTok influencer. But I mean, that was a pretty short lived thing. Right. Like, I think like maybe a week or something like that, he's getting some sales, and then it just drops off a cliff. Right. It's just like yeah. adrenaline, then gone. Whereas blogs typically rank on a much longer time frame. Right. Like, sometimes many years.
Yeah.
It's more difficult to get those blog posts ranked there, but like if you find the blog posts that are ranked already and you can actually get your product on those blog posts, that's a big win. And that's worth spending more time to get a smaller amount of those wins, because that's going to be generating traffic for months and potentially years into the future, instead of just like a quick little adrenaline shot from a social media influencer.
Totally. Yeah. And actually to that point too, like, I don't know if YouTube influencers are a thing. I guess they are, right? There's people with like popular YouTube channels. That is like totally golden for that. Like I created a stupid video in my garage for my products years ago, and I like totally forgot I had it, but the product's done well. And I went back to that YouTube video. It has tens of thousands of views, and I had a link in that to my Amazon listing. And that was like, it was awesome. Like, cause that, if anything, older YouTube video, as it accrues views and likes, it moves up in the search rank, right? So that might be another good path to explore as well.
Oh, absolutely. And quick little SEO trick for you guys before we sign off here. It is beneficial to embed a YouTube video within your blog post. So if you have a high-performing blog post or a high-performing YouTube video, then embed them together, and YouTube's SEO algorithm likes that a lot. It's going to show your blog post as a video result if it ranks for the video as well. So it's a good little hack there. Turn your blog posts into videos, put them together, or the other way around. But really good to have you on here, Brandon. This was a very interesting insight into the future of rebates and product launches. And if people want to reach out to you online or learn more about your company, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, so the website's rebate, rebaid.com. And my email is just my first name, Brendon. Nobody spells it right. Brendon at rebaid.com. So
Brendon, there we go. I like it. I'm going to have to call you Brendon from now on. All right. Well, awesome, Brandon. Great to have you on here, man. Appreciate your time. And we'll put the links to everything Brandon mentioned in the show notes as well at kenjiry.com/blog as always. And until next time, guys, go out there, kick some ass, launch some new products.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit kenjiroi.com.